I started to be cognizant of mental health as well, ensuring that when I woke up in the morning, I wasn't just jumping out of bed and going to work. I developed a real grounding practice, which helped me really enter the day with a lot more grace, because when we're anxious, our body has like an inflammatory response. We tend to get sicker really quickly if we're anxious.
Hi friends, I'm Jillian, the host of Teach Me How to Adult, a podcast on all the things you never learned growing up. Between landing your dream job, crushing your love life, learning to invest, mastering your mindset, and figuring out how to be happy along the way, there's a lot to navigate. I've learned firsthand that there's more than one way to adult, and it's not always linear. So consider this show my love letter to taking the unconventional route, creating new milestones, and carving out your own version of success. You're right where you should be. So join me every week as I call in the experts for unfiltered, game-changing advice on how we can all live our best lives. Adulting isn't easy, but we got you. Hi, friends. I hope you guys are doing great. I am just at the tail end of an amazing month that I spent in LA, and I got to meet and speak with some really great people while I was there, and I am so excited to bring them all onto the podcast. And one of the very impressive women that I got to chat with when I was there was today's guest, Sif Hyder. I was really excited to talk to her because a big focus in my life this past year has been on improving my health and just creating more healthy habits and routines that are better for me. And Sif is really amazing at this. And she has so much experience in this space as the founder of a natural supplement company and with all of the industry leaders that she gets to interview in her podcast. But I was also really excited to pick her brain on productivity and mindset hacks and tips for goal setting, because routine and efficiency are not always my strong suit. And especially since I've gone full freelance and taken the entrepreneurial route, I've really noticed how a lack of structure, a lack of organization in terms of like my time and actually how I manage my tasks, all of these things, I think they're holding me back from just kind of unlocking a next level of flow and ease. And this applies to everybody, no matter what your work situation is. I think when we can optimize the way we set our goals and the way that we create habits and routine and just figure out what balance works best for us when it comes to health and wellness and our careers and productivity, that's where the magic happens. But I am definitely not the expert, so I called in Sif. She's the co-founder of the popular natural supplement and wellness brand Array. I freaking love Array and truly, truly use it all the time. It offers high quality supplements that solve targeted issues, which is very unique to this brand. So they target things like bloating and constipation and anxiety, and they have been hugely successful. They reached $1 million in revenue just in year one, and they have been absolutely skyrocketing ever since. She's also the host of the Dream Bigger podcast, where she interviews guests like Tinks and Glucose Goddess, who I'm obsessed with, and Lauren Bostick and Miranda Kerr, and so many more people about health and wellness, entrepreneurship, beauty, and self-care. I'm really excited that we got to sit down in person and do this episode together, so I hope you enjoy it. Teach us how to optimize our wellness and hack our routine, Sif. Sif, thank you so much for chatting with me today. I am a huge fan of your brand, of your podcast, and I'm really excited to chat with you.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be here.
You are the co-founder of the hugely successful supplement and wellness brand Array. I popped a bloat pill, two bloat pills yesterday before I went out in a very tight outfit, and that shit works. So
love to hear it.
That's why we're here. You blessed all of us. But I'm curious, for those who don't know your story, if you could share a little bit about what brought you into the supplement and wellness space. What was your own wellness journey that got you here?
So I was always the girl who was sick, you know? So if there was anything in the air, you better be sure that I would catch it. And so for literally years, I was on this hamster wheel of getting sick, taking antibiotics, getting better, and then doing the whole cycle over and over again. And in my early 20s, I actually ended up fracturing a rib from a chronic cough, which is, yeah, I know it's insane because that shouldn't happen in your mid-20s or early 20s rather. And when I went to the doctor, I was just sent home with codeine, and there was really no plan to kind of move forward and ensure that my immune system would get stronger, right? And so at that point, I was extremely frustrated and I just decided to look into holistic remedies because I just felt like I'd been doing things a certain way, which was, you know, going to the doctor every time I got sick, and there was no game plan on how to ensure that it wouldn't happen again. And so for me, I was like, okay, I've been doing it this one way for a really long time. Let me try something new. I did not believe in holistic anything, okay? I thought it was a scam, quite frankly, but I was like, okay, I'm just gonna do my own research and see what I can find. And so I just kind of dove into whatever I could find on herbs, minerals, and vitamins, and then started to make changes in my life in terms of lifestyle and started to see improvements in my immune system. And then from there, because I was healthier than I'd ever been, I was like, I wonder if I can use herbs, minerals, and vitamins to target other things like digestion or anxiety or fatigue or any of these issues that we deal with every single day. And again, I started to see huge shifts in how I was feeling. And as a consumer, like a hyper consumer of skincare, I simply could not understand why the wellness world was so underserved. You know, I could go into Sephora and find whatever it was that I needed for my under eye circles or my pimples, like whatever your issue was, it was so easy to find a solution for it.
Yeah.
Everything was really targeted. It was easy to understand. It was formulated by either a chemist or a dermatologist. And it was also really beautiful. So you'd be excited to use it as a consumer.
Yeah. Beautiful packaging. Nice.
Super
design.
Beautiful.
And your skin is incredible. So like you have that unlock.
So that was really why we started Array. So my husband and I, back then my boyfriend, now my husband, we started it together really to fill that white space and give people targeted supplements that work in under an hour. So really quickly you feel the impact. And it's really beautifully packaged as well. So you get excited for your wellness routine, because if you think about it, skin is also a part of your wellness routine. It's just something that we've gotten used to doing. And wellness has been like always like, I don't know, like supplements have been like a separate thing, but how's it different from skin?
Yeah, 100%. I love that you just followed your curiosity. I mean, we often, you know, that's really like the bread and butter of entrepreneurship is like, what's the gap in the market? What's not happening? But it's so rooted in your own experience.
Yes.
And I bet after all those rounds of antibiotics, like it did a fucking number on your gut health.
Oh my gosh.
And I feel like that education, there's such a gap. I heard some crazy stat from a guest that I interviewed a week or two ago about how antibiotics disrupt your gut biome and how we're not educated with like what protocol to do after you've done a round
absolutely
of antibiotics. And as someone who is constantly sick, constantly has UTIs, like every possible thing you can get that requires antibiotics, I've had it my whole life, and I'm just now starting to really grasp how much my gut health is affecting the rest of my body, my hormones, my mental health.
Yeah,
it is a wild ride.
Well, they say that when you take an antibiotic, it's essentially blowing up a nuclear bomb in your gut. Like it kills everything in sight. And of course, listen, don't get me wrong, there's a time and a place for antibiotics.
Don't walk around with strep throat for months.
Like you can't not take it when you need it. Like I got a root canal, like I had to be on antibiotics. I got breast reduction, I had to be on antibiotics. You know, like sometimes you can't not be on it, but then number one, there should be a protocol on what to do post antibiotics. And I'm really actually so happy to see that now when you speak to doctors, especially like really good doctors, they will always tell you what to take with your antibiotics in order to minimize the damage and or start to repair your gut. Like I just, like I got a root canal done, and my doctor's incredible, my dentist is unbelievable, but like immediately he was like, okay, I want you to start taking a probiotic with it. And then I went to the pharmacy, and again, they gave me like instructions on like at what point to take it. And for me, I'm in the industry, so I know, but I was so happy to see that now this is a protocol for people who are like maybe completely new to this stuff, because it's really important that everyone gets the education that they need to feel their best.
100%. Agreed. And what's the biggest change that you have implemented in your own health and wellness since entering this industry? Like, what do you think the biggest game changer has really been in your health?
I can't pinpoint one thing, Jillian. I think it's been like a complete shift. And also I think like as you start to gain knowledge, like you start to implement things like one by one, right? Yeah. So learning how to eat properly, like really nourish your body, you know, learning which supplements to take when, like just being more in tune with what are the things that set you off in a certain way, like being cognizant of, okay, like if I have this, I feel this way, or if I do this, I feel that way, you know, learning how to optimize my sleep. There's been so many changes that I can't even point to one. I do think that when I started on my journey, there were a few things that really helped me. First was, honestly speaking, the supplement protocol that I had for my immune health. I was taking super high doses of vitamin C. I was taking UMCA. I was taking, oh my gosh, so many different
I've
things.
I've never heard of UMCA.
Yeah, it's great if you have like even like a tickle in your throat. Wow. But there's like a lot of things that you can take. I started to be cognizant of mental health as well. So ensuring that when I woke up in the morning, I wasn't just jumping out of bed and going to work. Like, you know, I developed a real grounding practice, which, you know, helped me really, I don't know, like enter the day with a lot more grace, because when we're anxious, our body has like an inflammatory response. You know, we tend to get sicker really quickly if we're anxious. So just ensuring that I was doing things for my mental health the first thing in the morning. So that also made a huge impact. And then, of course, learning how to eat.
Yeah.
I think like when you're getting into health and wellness, or like even just you're looking at it from like a very precursory standpoint, it can be that like, oh, like don't eat this or don't eat that. It should never be that way, right? You should really just have a handle on what foods work best for your body. Like how do you build your plate? Things like that.
Those are the big ones. I saw you just recently chatted with Glucose Goddess. Yes. She is my queen.
I love her.
Truly, like, I'm not even overstating it. I think she might have changed my life in terms of understanding my blood sugar levels. I have hormone imbalances that I've been dealing with, and just the no naked carbs, the order in which you eat food, how to build your plate.
Absolutely.
Because it moved me from a place of like restriction and guilt. And I kind of went off the deep end with like, oh, I can't have any carbs. And you know, you fall down these rabbit holes in under the guise of health that actually become really unhealthy for you.
Yes.
So understanding the power of protein and fiber and healthy fats and how to create that combination of food has been such a game changer. And just even understanding the impact of hormones, like our mental health is our physical health. Like when you have that spiked cortisol, like when you have all of these hormones flaring through your body because of anxiety and stress, it's so bad for you. So it really is, it's more than just dealing with your feelings, it's dealing with your body and your mind and everything.
Absolutely.
You also mentioned your morning routine, and from everything I've seen, you have a killer morning routine. Can you walk us through it and what, you know, kind of elements make it really impactful for you?
So for me, I would say there's two non-negotiables in my morning routine. And the first is journaling. So I will wake up and after I like brush my teeth, skincare, all of that, I'll like have like a big water bottle of water, like this whole thing I usually drink. And then I'll sit down with my journal and I journal for about 20 to 30 minutes while drinking my coffee. And then I go out for a walk in the morning. Again, like that minimum 20 minutes, like usually 30. And I listen to something good when I'm walking, like a good podcast or a good book that makes me feel really happy. Nothing that's like too heavy. Like I think like we're primed to learn in the morning. And so I try to like whatever I'm listening to, it's teaching me something good. Mm-hmm. The walking thing is extremely important. So both of those elements I feel like have kept me sane.
Yeah. What's your journaling practice? Like, do you have structure? Is it free flow? Is it like gratitudes or goals or just whatever comes up?
So when I started, and I give this advice to anyone who's just starting out on journaling, honestly, I started with the 5-minute journal. It was just a really easy way for me to build a habit and not get overwhelmed. Yeah. And then obviously over time, like I've been doing this for almost 10 years now. I've been journaling every day for almost 10 years. So, you know, I've now developed my own practice. I have my own prompts that I use. I check in with myself. If I wake up feeling a certain type of way, I'll like talk to myself like I'm the third person, like ask myself why I'm feeling a certain way. So I think if you're getting started, a good place to start is the 5-minute journal. But then if you're consistent, you will notice yourself kind of figure out your own prompts. Another really good thing that I want to direct your listeners to is the book, The Artist's Way. It's a fantastic read.
It's so good. Yeah.
I read it, I think, a year into journaling. And then from the 5-minute journal, I started to do the 3 morning pages.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the practice kind of morphs from there. I think the most important thing is building a habit out of it. And then you start to free flow on your own.
Yeah, agreed. I love Julia Cameron. Artist's Way is so
good, because if you are a creative in any capacity, which I believe everybody is, it really feeds that and it can really help you get unstuck in whatever your medium is.
Yeah.
And if you don't identify as like a creative person or an artist, it just helps you work through that first layer of thoughts.
Exactly.
And I really think once you like dump the bullshit out, then you can get one layer deeper into, okay, what's actually going on with myself and like how do I actually want to approach my day?
So exactly.
Yeah, I love that. I also want to pick your brain on routine and consistency because I feel like you're really good at routine and consistency. And to be honest, I kind of struggle with it. Like I have some non-negotiables, but I'm a little all over the place. I travel a lot and I have trouble really staying consistent with things over a long period of time. I'd love to know more about how you approach routine and consistency in terms of your wellness and your career.
So in terms of wellness, as I said, those two things, like my morning routine, that's like something I don't miss out on. And then the other third component is working out. No matter what, I will not skip a workout. Again, it's for my mental health. And I just know that I like cannot perform at work like I do if I don't have a workout scheduled.
Yeah.
So I do my workouts at 5 p.m. every single day, maximum 6 p.m. That's the latest. And I work out with a trainer now. Before, I used to just go on my own. I feel like with working out, like it's just about finding a workout that really suits you. This could be Pilates. It could be weightlifting. I love weightlifting, so that's what I do. Mm-hmm. But again, that portion of things is really important because it's just something that I know keeps me mentally really sharp. And so I don't falter there. And then in terms of work consistency, honestly, I feel like what part of work do you struggle, or like the consistency thing do you struggle with? Like, are there specifics?
It's nothing specific, but it's more so like implementing a structure that I stick to, like time blocking parts of my day and maintaining that. Like from this hour to this hour, I'm designating that time every day to doing XYZ.
Right.
And following a genuinely a routine. Like right. I kind of like every day in my life is a bit different.
Yes.
And I think I could be like a little bit more efficient if I implemented more strategy and consistency.
So there's a really good book called Indistractable. The author is Nir Eyal, and he essentially talks about like how to optimize so you're not constantly task switching, okay? And so something I started to implement in my life after reading that book specifically was if I was having a day where, for example, I'm supposed to be podcasting, I'm supposed to go into the studio, then I try to structure that day so it's more meeting or like talking heavy, if that makes sense, right?
So interaction.
Like, exactly, because you're basically like when you're podcasting, you kind of have to be on. Right. And so it makes it easier if that is the day where you're scheduling a lot of that like interaction.
Yeah.
Because then
you're
there's
in the flow.
Exactly. You're in flow. And so that's like, I would say the most important thing when it comes to my routine. Before, when Array was smaller, I would try to batch all my meetings on specific days and other days, like keep completely off meetings. Look, I've just kind of learned that like as your company scales, you don't really have control over that after a certain point. Yeah. Like there are things that come up and it's just you can't get out of it. Like your team members cannot wait 2 days until your next meeting slot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So things shift like that. And I've just learned to be okay with it. But I try to batch it so that on days where I have to be in person, I have more interactive things so that I'm not going doing an interview and then coming home and then having to do head down work. Like
yeah.
After this podcast, for example, I have a meeting that I have to go to and I'm doing that in person, the meeting today versus tomorrow, because tomorrow I want to structure my day a little bit differently. So I actually have time to do work at home until like the second half of the day where I have a podcast interview later. So yeah
the batching is really smart because I find I just can't get into a flow state if I'm doing like admin tasks and then filming videos and then doing an interview, and you're like hopping
like
into so
very,
many
yeah,
different
no.
mind frames.
It doesn't
you need
work.
To really exactly. And then the other thing I've really been trying to implement is just the knowing that motivation is kind of bullshit and that you're not necessarily going to like be motivated to do the things that you need to do. So training myself to not wait for motivation to hit, but to really understand what the outcome will be if I just push myself to do it and to follow a bit of a structure that allows me to do that rather than waiting till I feel like I'm in the mood to do the workout or waiting to be motivated to like batch content, all of the videos I have to do.
No, I don't, I think motivation or like that is like a bullshit.
It's fallacy.
You know, it's fallacy because we only feel these like bursts of motivation here and there, but what about all the other times?
Exactly.
You know? So I feel like building habits and having systems is so, so important because it just kind of puts guardrails and you know that you have to do what you have to do, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I also heard in a podcast that you did that in both your business and in your personal life, you like to focus on five top things, like five top areas of focus per month. Can you talk to me more about that? Like what that looks like and how you landed on that number?
Yeah. So this was actually something that Nish implemented for the company first. So we call it our top fives. Okay. Mm-hmm. Everyone on our team, inclusive of Nish and I, have a top five that we're focusing on for the month. And it's really specific. So for example, for influencers, okay, our marketing coordinator will have a goal on how many influencers to gift, and that'll be one of her top five, okay? Mm-hmm. Or it will be for our head of social, like put out 3 TikTok videos a day. Like that's one of her top fives. Or for our head of events, it'll be one of his top fives is organize a community event this month, you know? So like it's really tangible, like ticked off your list, not some esoteric, like no, it's either done or it's not. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so we have that for our company for every single person. And typically like those top five goals are aligned based on like the greater mission of what we're trying to achieve either in that quarter, that month, that year, whatever it is. But I think what a top five does is it ensures that everyone is really laser focused. You know, by the end of the month, when we do a top five review, you've either hit them or you've not, or you've hit the bulk of them or you've not. And if you're consistently not hitting them, then it's a question of, well, how can we modify? Like, what are we doing wrong? Like, do we need to change our approach? So I think it just keeps you really clear on I'm either doing well or I'm not.
Right.
You know, and it's like again, this includes both Nish and I as well. So it's not like it's just for our team members. Yeah, everyone.
Makes it trackable.
Exactly. Super trackable. So that, again, when end of year reviews come up, it's really clear, like, how is everyone doing? You know, like, and also then how's the company doing? Because if we're all hitting our top fives consistently, the company's winning. You know what I mean? Yeah. And similarly, I brought that into my personal life. So every month I have 5 tangible goals that I want to hit. It can be typically like those 5 goals I narrow down from my yearly 3 big goals. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of like have like 5 things that I'm focusing on or like tangible goals based on what I have in my 3 big goals.
Okay.
So it's like a really systemized breakdown. And I think if someone is wanting to implement it, it has to be really like you hit it or you don't.
Yeah.
Focus on what output you can do in order to hit it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And those 5, I mean, obviously the bigger annual goals are going to be a lot broader. Mm-hmm. And then the monthly ones, do you make them like really specific or are they like a bit more general and then you have a bunch of actions underneath that, like a bucket of things you need to do to get there that are like micro goals?
No, it's pretty specific. Mm-hmm. And the 3 annual goals that I have are also like pretty specific. Like they're like a large goal, you know? So my monthly things that I'm working on will all culminate to that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. 100%. I have like in my mind, because this is what I do too, like a tree, like a flow chart of my top annual goals. And then I break it down. I haven't done like specifically 5 per month, but I break it down into per month. And then every morning when I'm on my good routine, I put down, you know, something I'm grateful for and then a goal that ladders up to that monthly
goal.
And then something that I just want. And sometimes it's frivolous and sometimes it's just a fun thing that I want. And then I'm ideally moving towards gratitude, towards something that would just bring me joy and towards a concrete specific action.
I love that. That's like such a good system as well.
Yeah. I need a system in my life and that's been the only one that's been sticking. So how do you use visualization in your personal life and in your business to, you know, imagine some of these goals or to dream up the future that you're moving towards?
I think we're just really clear on what we want to achieve. Mm-hmm. And I think part of being an entrepreneur is having conviction in your delusion. Nish and I were talking about this yesterday. So being like really, really specific about what it is we want to achieve, and no matter how delusional that vision is, having conviction in it and then taking the steps to make that happen, you know? So I think right from the beginning, Nish and I had like a big vision for Array, and you know, the two of us kind of aligned on what we wanted it to be. So I feel like that's one thing. And then from like, I guess, a more tangible perspective, like even for me, I really like creating a vision board. I do it at the end of every year. It's like a really fun activity for me. I love it because it's kind of like a representation of what I want right in front of my face every single day. It's my phone screen, it's my laptop screen. And then for me, it's also a big part of my journaling practice, visualization. So sometimes I'll sit and I'll do like future you journaling, where like I talk about my ideal self, like what she has, like what her day looks like. And not only does it help me visualize the life that I want, but it also helps me really tangibly figure out the version of myself that has all of this. What habits do they have? So say, for example, your goal is to make a whole lot of money. Okay. Your goal is to be a millionaire. Okay. You kind of have to ask yourself how that person conducts themselves. Like, yes, they may be buying nice things, but then they have financial habits to ensure that they are a millionaire. So are they investing their money? Probably, you know? So maybe you want to figure out how to do that. Do they have their debts in a row so they're not overspending? Maybe you want to do that. Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to think about paying off your debit or credit card debt. Maybe you want to figure out how to not overspend on a bag. Maybe you want to read money books, you know? So these are just like, this is just an example of like, how does that version of you conduct themselves? And like, how do they do the quote unquote hard things, right? Because oftentimes you're like, oh, I want to look like this, or I want to have this much money. And then you think of like all the exciting things, like, oh, I'll wear that dress, or I'll buy that bag, or I'll go on that vacation. But then what is that, like, what are the things that they're doing, that version, who are actually, those things that are actually getting them to that place, you know, and keeping them there. So for example, if your ideal self is like super fit in the gym and they're able to lift a ton of weights, okay, what decisions are they making in order to even be there? You know what I mean? Yeah. So like, how do you maintain that? So being really clear about what that version of you does. So that's kind of like how I utilize visualization as well.
I love that. I love visualizing it.
Yeah.
Some people I find in my life still find it like a little bit woo woo. And I'm like, no, no, this is a, like, there's neuroscience behind it. This is a roadmap. You're basically giving like a dress rehearsal for how you want to operate, who you want to be, and then creating a roadmap. And mentally, you've already fast forwarded and gotten there. And so now you're just rewinding and being like, okay, how do I press fast forward?
Absolutely.
And trace those steps to be that person in that situation that I want to show up as.
Yeah.
It's a really powerful tool.
I agree. I love it. I think it's so powerful, and people should find whatever way of visualization that works for them.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I mean, it can be the journaling, it can be meditation. Yeah. It can just be like chatting about it with people in your life.
And absolutely.
Sharing your goals into the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. So knowing that you have these really solid, like non-negotiables and routines in your career, in your day, in your health habits, how do you strike that sweet spot between rigidity and balance? Because I find this is a really challenging part of when people get into the wellness world. I think it becomes like, it can become really rigid, which can become unhealthy in its own ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then it's very hard to understand like what does balance look like? How does it feel? And how do we like move towards balance?
As committed as I am to my routines, I do not consider myself a rigid person in the slightest. I think I used to be, and I think that that can often be kind of the journey that people go on in order to get to a place of balance. But I would say for me, like, I'm never someone who's going to say no to hanging out with my friends, you know, and like going out to grab a bite to eat at my favorite restaurant. Like, I will go and I will enjoy that and I will not think twice about it, you know? And I think that that's really how it should be. That being said, again, like let's talk about balance here for a second, okay? Everyone talks about 80-20 eating, okay? So let's talk about food specifically. 80-20 eating is if you are eating 21 meals in a week, 16.8 of them should be like nutrient dense.
Yeah.
Okay. So what does that mean tangibly? That means that I like to cook about 16 to 17 meals of mine at home. And then when I go out to eat, I'm not sweating. Like I'm not worrying about it. That being said, if I'm invited to a dinner and it's not like it's a random one, I'm going to go, I'm going to enjoy myself. There's nothing to think twice about. But then if I'm invited to 10 dinners in a row, then maybe I will try to get like a salad with some protein and then have French fries on the side versus a burger with French fries, you know? And I do that because I like to feel on, you know? I like to feel like my brain is functioning, like my body is functioning, and I don't want to feel lethargic all the time,
yeah,
right? So that's number one. But on the flip side, you want to make sure that you have place for those like fun moments, because that is also nourishing the soul, mm, you know? Like having a life where all you're doing is sitting at home and eating salads, like what a sad life.
Yeah.
You know, like,
it's like, to what end?
Yeah,
what to what end? What am I preserving myself for if I'm not living?
Yeah.
But we still want to live a life where we feel good, yeah, generally day to day.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. It's the same thing. Like for example, I was just skiing in the French Alps, which is something we do every single year. And I love a good croissant, okay? This is like, I love it, right? Am I gonna miss out on this while I'm, you know, out skiing? No, I'm not gonna miss out on it. So what do? At breakfast, I make sure I have some eggs before I eat the croissant, you, yes, know? So it's just about striking that balance. And it's, I think you can apply that kind of throughout. Like on the weekends, for example, like on Saturday, I am not looking at work. I do not care to look at my computer. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that's so urgent that it cannot wait until like, you know, Sunday, because, yeah, Sunday I can like maybe look at my computer here and there, but on Saturday it's like my chill, like fun day, you, yeah, know? Yeah. So yeah, I feel like it's about finding the systems that work for you and just knowing that like making your soul happy is actually a part of wellness, you know? So you just have to strike that balance. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like we know what feels good. Mm-hmm. And I think it's when we start listening. I mean, I obviously love podcasting and listen to so many podcasts and audiobooks, but I do find sometimes it can fuck me up when I start listening to so many extreme opposing views. I'm like, oh, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this. Mm-hmm. And then I have to turn it off and be like, you know what feels good,
yeah,
for yourself.
Yeah,
like absolutely. We have to follow that inner knowing and be real with ourselves about what like a healthy balance feels like.
Yeah.
Because we usually know, but it just gets like a bit convoluted.
Yeah, I think it's whenever we sway to one side or the other, there's like a voice in our head that's telling us that you're not feeling good, mm-hmm, right? So for example, if you're too rigid and then you're going out to eat and then there's this voice in your ear saying, don't get that, don't get that, don't get, or like you come back home and you feel really shitty, yeah, even though you had like one meal that was like a fun meal, that's a red alert, right? Yeah. That means that you've skewed way too far on one side.
Yeah.
Whereas on the other side, if you have been eating junk food every single day and then there's a small voice in your head that's like, I'm not feeling very good right now. I don't feel good. Like I feel bloated. I feel lethargic. Like I'm not optimized to what I need to be. That again, you've skewed too far to the other side, you know, and this can be said for anything, right? Like if you are overworking, you'll hear that small voice where it's like, I'm close to burnout. Like I'm so tired. You wake up, you're fatigued all the time. That's not how you should feel, you know? Vice versa, if you're having too much fun, yeah, maybe you're like, well, maybe I should do something productive with my time, you,
yeah,
know?
So. Yeah, yeah, 100%. Do you have guardrails in place to prevent burnout, or do you have like boundaries around, you've mentioned ideally not working on Saturdays. Do, mm-hmm, you have any other kind of boundaries in place?
I try to turn my laptop off by like after dinner. I don't really look at work anymore after that as much as I can. Of course, like there's periods where it's like a launch or whatever, that's different. Mm-hmm. If we're going on vacation, which we do 2 times a year, like I'll minimize the hours that I'm working. So even if we have to work while we're there, like we'll do like four hours or like 3 hours, minimize meetings, things like that. I think when you've been doing this for a while and you realize that you are in it for the long haul, you kind of start to figure out what it is you need in order to make it sustainable, you know? So I think just being really, really conscious of that, knowing your limits, like, you know, for example, I'm not someone who's going to compromise on my sleep because I'm working on something till 1 a.m. I just can't do that. That's just not who I am. Yeah, I would say like those are like, I guess, like the rules, quote unquote, that I have, that I don't work on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. I just don't. Friday nights, for example, is always date night no matter what. We are not compromising on that to work. Things like that.
Yeah. Oh my God, I was howling at a podcast you did. I think it was Skinny Confidential, mm-hmm. when you guys were talking about how you're more of a morning person, mm-hmm. and your partner is a night owl. So yeah. he'll come in and you're like resting, getting ready for sleep. And he's like, I've figured out what's wrong with the business, yeah, or whatever.
I'm like,
and you're
shut
like,
the fuck up.
Could you not right yeah, now?
No, like, I mean, he's like, he's really good about it now. But, you know, if still sometimes it comes, I'm like, this can wait till the morning. Yeah. Like, please,
you got to protect that like, piece, that pocket of peace.
Yeah, no.
That's really funny. What's giving you fulfillment in your life right now?
A lot of things. What's giving me fulfillment? I really am enjoying being at home. I feel like having my own space, not constantly having to hop on a plane and go somewhere. Like, that's been a goal of ours this year, is to minimize our travel, just because it was a lot of that for the last few years. So this year it's just been a lot of being at home. So I feel really fulfilled just in like the mundane, honestly, like every Sunday cooking for us for the week, like having date night at home, like going out, seeing my friends, all of those things. Obviously work, I love what I do. It's truly like I'm a very purpose-driven person. And so getting to do what I love and knowing that I help people every single day brings me so much fulfillment. Working out, I feel like that's like an endorphin rush that brings me a lot of fulfillment. So all of those things.
That truly sounds like contentment.
Yeah.
Because I feel like when I'm in periods where I don't feel contentment, I am chasing something more at all times. And then when I'm like really living in contentment, I'm like, going for a walk is what made me really freaking content and happy today. Having the sun come out, spending time with a close friend, having an amazing meal, like the little things become the source of joy rather than trying to chase some big thing. And so I'm really trying to like root myself in those small things and notice them every day, because I think that is what adds up to a really beautiful life.
Yeah, absolutely.
A last question that we always love to ask our guests is, what is one thing you wish you had learned in school that you could have used as an adult?
Oh my gosh, everything that I know now.
Not parallelograms.
Finances. I don't think we are taught finances at all.
No.
And it's something that I had to learn as an adult. It's really interesting because I really thank my parents every single day, because I was brought up in a home where I was taught to always pay my credit card off, always, and never overspend. So that was like ingrained in me.
The number of people that are given credit cards and don't know.
I know they think it's,
or they pay off the minimum amount and they don't know. And I'm like, this is like, this is fraudulent that we're like giving people these cards and creating debt. And the
thing is that like, if you need to and you're aware of what that means, then for sure, you know, like that's okay. I mean, that's a different scenario, right? But I think that there's an epidemic of people feeling like they need to keep up with other people and like spending way too much to do that and not knowing the implications, okay? So what I wish I was taught in school, on top of that, thank God for my parents, is how to invest my money. You know, what does it, like, if you want to increase your credit rating, what does that really mean? Yeah. You know, like, what do you have to do? So I honestly wish that these things are, I hope schools start teaching these things, I mean, in an ideal world, because I really do think it's basic education. I think people should be empowered to take control of their finances. And I think people cannot get better if they don't know and they don't have the knowledge. So that's what I wish I was taught. I hope schools start teaching it to people, especially women.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like women need to be empowered to manage their finances, learn. It's a really empowering feeling to know that you are building wealth for yourself. So, yeah.
It's the difference between like freedom and staying in shitty situations for a lot of people, especially women, whether that's staying in a horrible job or staying in a toxic relationship, because financial stability and standing on your own isn't something a lot of women feel comfortable with because they haven't been taught.
Yes.
And it's so fucking important.
And I want to give your listeners two resources, which I think they should all look into, even if they're just starting out and this stuff intimidates them. I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit. It's a book. It's fantastic. And then the Personal Finance Podcast, which is on Apple and Spotify and anywhere where podcasts are found. It's again free. So I feel like this can be a topic of fear for a lot of people. And it shouldn't be. We should face it head on, no matter where we're at in our journeys. And so this is just something I feel really passionate about, because I really do think that women should be in the driver's seat of their finances, of their lives, in fact.
Yeah.
And I think that it's an area that we're not taught about enough. Money in general, I think women shy away from it more than men.
Yeah, and there's shame around it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I just want everyone to be empowered to learn about this.
Okay, we're gonna need to bring you back for just like money chat round two, because I could not agree more.
Amazing.
I love that. Thank you so much, Sip. This has been such a great conversation. I'm so excited for you and your company and your podcast and all the amazing things that you're doing. Could you share what's next for you, where people can follow you, where they can get your amazing products?
Thank you so much. Honestly, it's been such a fun chat, and I'm so happy we were able to do this while you were in town. So you can find me at Sif Hyder on all social media platforms. You can find Array at array.co on all social media. My podcast is the Dream Bigger Podcast. Any of your podcasts are found, and then you can shop us at array.com.
And I highly recommend it. Truly, the bloat has changed my life. And my sister, she really swears by your product.
Oh,
so,
that makes me really happy. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Really, really helping people feel better and be able to move through the world eating food and not feeling like shit. So thank you.
Thank you. Honestly, that means so much to me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
There you have it, friends. Thanks for listening, and make sure you're following along on Instagram at Teach Me How to Adult Media and on TikTok at Teach Me How to Adult. If you like what you heard today, it would mean so much if you would subscribe and leave a comment or a rating. It really helps us grow the show. And if something in this episode really resonated, text it to your friends or screenshot it and share it on social. Wherever you are in your adulting journey, just remember, you're not alone. My DMs are always open, and I would love to hear from you. So hit me up with any topics or guests that you would like to hear about. See you next time. Bye.